Hare Krishna. Reading from My Glorious Master, Melbourne, 1975. Women, Widows, and Success. Shrutikirti then rubbed mustard oil onto Prabhupada's back. I moved to face Prabhupada's front and was enjoying the sweet atmosphere that surrounded him. With his eyes closed, Prabhupada spoke. My godbrothers criticize me that I have allowed women to live in our temples. This is not done in India. Only brahmacharis can live. But I have become successful because I have made this adjustment. Prabhupada opened his eyes and continued. Although they criticize me, their Gaudiya mats are empty. The only time they have people coming is during Gopurnima in Mayapur for Parikrama. And who is coming for Parikrama? Widows, women in white. Because I have made this adjustment, I was successful. Adjusting principles. Shrutikirti, as he moved to massage Prabhupada's side, asked Prabhupada, how can we tell the difference between making an adjustment and changing a principle? Prabhupada's eyes closed and Shrutikirti continued to massage. After a few moments, Prabhupada opened his eyes and said, that takes a little intelligence. My comment. Shrutikirti's question was penetrating. Clearly delineating between the adjustable and the non-adjustable, between a detail and a principle, is not easy. It requires intelligence. To foolishly mistake a non-adjustable principle for an adjustable detail will cause havoc in spiritual life. And to accept each detail as if it can never be adjusted is fanaticism. Fanaticism will also cause havoc of a different nature. If we have developed our spiritual intelligence, we can make distinctions between principles and details, but we should confirm our opinions with trusted friends or superiors. If we haven't developed our spiritual intelligence, we should take guidance from those who have. We should not act independently. One householder's, quote, good business. I spoke to Prabhupada about my tapestry handbag business, which was doing well. I was able to send Prabhupada donations every week. Still, I felt guilty that I was neither serving Prabhupada in Hong Kong nor living in the temple. I informed Prabhupada about the items I was selling, describing them in an almost derogatory tone. But Prabhupada was enthusiastic, and he called the business good. I was surprised and asked, I'm selling handbags. How is that good? Prabhupada looked at me soberly. One has to do something. My comment. A householder living outside the temple must support his family. By Krishna's mercy, I both supported my family through a relatively sinless enterprise and was able to send weekly donations to Prabhupada. Prabhupada's appreciation of these small successes led him to term my business good. Free books. Wishing to distribute books but fearing the repercussions of the collecting techniques the devotees used, I asked Prabhupada whether or not books could be purchased and distributed for free. His reply, quote, as far as possible, end quote. My comment. Prabhupada did not set up the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust to publish books and distribute them for free. Books were to be sold so the book trust could make a profit and publish more books. Prabhupada generally extolled the glories of selling his books as opposed to distributing them for free. In 1968, he even said that anyone who turns his books into money would go back to Godhead. Collecting money through book distribution is practical. The exchange of energy, money for books, makes people take the books more seriously. Having paid for the book, they will be more likely to read it. Secondly, devotees require money to maintain the temples and expand the preaching. Money from book distribution can fulfill ISKCON's need for money while still allowing the devotee book distributors to speak all day about Krishna. Still, Prabhupada also allowed us to distribute his books for free. Book distribution, wherein a wealthy person buys books and distributes them in charity, is successful both in India and Russia. Thousands of Bhagavad Gitas have been distributed to wealthy factory owners who then present them to their workers. A just see story, rather, a quote, just see story. Stories often float around about Prabhupada. I had recently heard a fantastic story from several devotees who obviously accepted it as true. I had my doubts and decided to ask Prabhupada directly. Prabhupada, some devotees told me a story that I wanted to ask you about. The story was that you were in your room with Vishnu Jana Maharaj, and he asked you about your rasa with Krishna. The way I heard the story was that you started glowing. Now I'm laughing about it. You started glowing brighter and brighter until Vishnu Jan Maharaj crawled out of the room. Did that happen? Prabhupada smiled, leaned back, expanded his smile still further, and said, "Just see." He said that while shaking his head. My comment, Prabhupada's "just see" and his expression told it all. The remainder of the sentence, "just see," the nonsense that people are speaking, was clearly understood. The once and for all answer. Another time as Prabhupada took his massage, I asked him, "What is the position of devotees living outside?" Prabhupada replied, "I shall answer this question once and for all times in the lecture tonight." As usual, Prabhupada's class that evening was attended by all the devotees. And as the devotees waited for Prabhupada to arrive, an air of expectancy electrified the atmosphere. I was especially eager to hear Prabhupada's lecture. Prabhupada proceeded with his class, and as I listened, I thought on several occasions that Prabhupada was obliquely answering the question. At the end of the lecture, Prabhupada mentioned, "It is sometimes asked about living outside the temple for a devotee." He then began his answer. "Just as one does not have to be a member of the stock exchange to do business, he can do business without being a member. But if one is a member of the stock exchange, his doing business becomes easy because all his associations are to do with business. Similarly, one could be a devotee and live outside the temple, but completing his devotional business is easier if he lives inside." My comment. During these years, devotees often ask Prabhupada the inside-outside question. ISKCON's general view was clear and simple. Those living in the temple were devotees, and those living outside were demons. This did not represent Prabhupada's idea, however. In the following excerpt from A Morning Walk, Hawaii, 1975, Prabhupada thoroughly explains the inside-outside controversy. Disciple. Oh, it's a long read, and it's very important. So it was especially important in those days, because now almost such a large percentage of the devotees live outside. So in those days, that was quite unheard of. So since it's such a long excerpt from that morning walk, wait till the next reading to read it. Thank you very much, and Hare Krishna.